Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
With your holiday fill-in hosts, Jermaine Wiggy Wiggins.
You're off Monday. You know it's working.
You are.
Oh, you're working.
See how that kind of works out in a weird way?
What?
The white guy gets off on black guy.
Right. Yeah, but months work.
You know, everything is not
King's birthday.
Joined by Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Come in and you check your mentions, and then you find that the producer of your radio show writes, "I know, right?" 10 exclamation points.
Oh my God.
How many bags of Antonio Brown's gummy dicks could I airlift into your rented apartment, Curtis?
And making his glorious return to mornings. The Mutt Man.
We will be back on Tuesday, I think, because Monday's a holiday.
Correcto mundo.
Yep, so, sorry, Mutt's on Monday.
Now.
Well, we've got to be role models.
Right.
Oh, God.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
And losers they are.
What does ELO stand for?
Electric Light Movement.
No. No, ELO.
Oh, ELO.
Where the God, there you are!
And there is no greater drain on your fresh water supply than almonds.
It is?
My God.
I'm really? Not kidding.
I do not have anything to add.
Cover it.
Let's cover it.
Jesus Christ.
On sports radio.
Cheers. I'm crushing the bears. I'm watching the Pats.
From your lips to God's ears.
WEEI.
This is a black eye on baseball.
All right, in honor of this t-shirt that George Kittle was wearing last night, he's got wore a t-shirt in the post-game.
Saw that.
Shirtless Jimmy Garoppolo. We need shirtless Wiggy tees.
Yeah.
That's the
pretty
next WEEI right line of t-shirts. Shirtless Wiggies.
I want an autographed shirtless Wiggy I can wear to the holiday fill-in Greg Hill Show post-game press
beach,
conference.
Man. You got when I'm at the beach.
That's what you said. I heard you say it yesterday. You're like Moss's kid. You go to the beach, take your shirt off,
I
no big deal.
I take my shirt off. I had no problem with it. I ain't one of those guys. I never get to see those dudes who go to the beach or go to the pool, and they're going to leave their t-shirt on.
It's like, a bad look.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, man.
Just show it
just
off.
Just let it go,
who cares at that point? You're out and about. Get some sun, some natural vitamin D.
Right?
Live your best life. Come on.
Live out loud and proud, man. Out loud and proud.
Got a long t-shirt on and he's at the beach in the water. I'm like, man, come on, man.
Go ahead. Keep eating it, fat boy.
Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mutt in for the Greg Hill Show a day after the football. The football sucked yesterday. The football, good. I mean, if you wanted good competitive games with something to really sink your teeth into, you didn't get them. You got two blowouts. You got Kansas City.
Well, Kansas City got you to maybe, what, the third quarter-ish?
I'd say halftime. I'd say Patrick Mahomes dancing into the end zone at halftime, that was it. 21-17, you said,
emotionally,
that game's over.
Emotionally, you knew you could punch out. You could check out at halftime of the first game. We got a half of emotionally engaged football. After that, like you said, when he scampers in for 35 yards, ball game over, the Chiefs win. I mean, I know that it was, they put up 14
Come on,
in the second
close,
half.
And wasn't close.
Titans put up
never
seven.
In doubt. Never
no,
in doubt.
No, it was never in doubt. It was a scoreless third quarter largely, but yeah, that
you
game was never in doubt.
You knew, I felt like, all right, it's over. But the one point where I said, okay, this is Tennessee's chance was in the third quarter. I think they ended up stopping the Chiefs after their first possession. The Chiefs end up kicking them the football.
Yep.
And they get the ball. And they're only at that point, they're only down by 4 points, 21-17. I said, okay, this is it. Can you put something together? And they went like maybe three and out, punted, and then that was it. Then once KC got the ball back, and I think they ultimately went up by 11 at that point.
Hit the big touchdown with Mahomes, and that was it. And you're right. They offensively, they did nothing in that second half that made you think they're going to come back. I mean, this Ryan Tannehill run, I know Anderson and Shine, the midday producers, love
Ryan
Tannehill.
Yeah, they've been on
Tannehill, the Tannessance. he's the most average quarterback in the league, and Mike Vrabel is going to tell his GM today, what's his, John Robinson, the former Patriot front office guy, go get me Tom Brady, or go get me a real quarterback, because this guy here, we have a limit. No, that that music's dead.
Yeah.
The Tannis music's dead. The Derrick Henry music, put that away,
you can,
too.
You can wrap that music in a boogeyman sweatshirt and bury it behind the studio.
Yeah, because if they decide to come back with Ryan Tannehill next year, I think...
There's a ceiling, Wiggy. We saw what the ceiling was. You can beat bad teams, and you can get a couple surprise wins, but that's it. That's
you can
it.
Ticket them for 10-6 tops next year if they bring back Tannehill. And if you're going to pay $30 million for 10-6...
You might not even get 10-6 because now, next year, every team's going to be like, uh-uh. Derrick Henry ain't about to go straight beast mode on us and run all over us. And put it more, they might be one of those teams, and we've seen them before, like with the Falcons. They make this one good run, and then now where are they the next couple of years? I could see them going 8-8 next year.
Well, and they got to pay Derrick Henry too, because he's a free agent. So who do you pay first? Who gets the money first? Do you get the quarterback or
quarterback.
Do you sign up Derrick Henry?
They are stupid.
Right.
If they decide to invest the money in a running back instead of a quarterback, and the second game, we'll talk about both these games, I guess. That with a guy that's been cut by six different teams, rushed for over 200 yards, a guy nobody wanted, you don't spend money on a running back. It's not worth it if Raheem Mostert can show up in a division in a conference championship game and carry you to a Super Bowl.
You know, that's always going to be the greatest question, and you start to see it is it worth a running back of the caliber of a Derrick Henry or an Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley? Is it worth it when you see a guy like the kid from San Francisco?
I would say no. I think we have our answer. It's happened. The Patriots made these great runs, Wiggy. You were part of some of them. The running backs were not the stars.
It was Antoine Smith.
It was Corey Dillon. It was take care of the ball, pick up some yardage, and get out of the way. We don't need a superstar, and we saw it in the games yesterday. Somebody who six teams didn't want, who's been injured for 2 years,
and by the way,
for 220 freaking yards.
And Mostert was, I think, number four on their depth chart to start the season.
Matt Breida. I don't know who the third guy
is. Jarek McKinnon has been earning money for years, but he's been all torn up.
But I think a lot of that is just a facade when it comes to guys like the kid from San Francisco. What's his name, though?
Raheem Mostert.
Right. I think a lot of that is a facade because here's what ends up happening. You end up thinking, okay, we can find that guy. Look at this guy. He's been cut by six different teams and whatnot. But what was the biggest problem with the Patriots this year? Their inability to run the football. Now, I will give Derrick Henry and like guys like Ezekiel Elliott this type of credit that those guys, for the most part, are always going to be able to run the football. Now, when you look at Derrick Henry, I mean, he ran it okay yesterday. The problem is they have no quarterback. But if he has a quarterback and they have the ability to run the football, don't you think he's more dynamic as a player? Because it's easier for him to rip off some of those runs because now they're not just keying on him. I think we get caught in this world that, oh, well, this guy was a fifth or a sixth round pick. And then you ultimately go, we're not going to try to get a running back earlier. We're not going to pay money for a running back because we can find a gem later on.
Well, I just think the Patriots are a great example because Sony Michel was a first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
They spent first round draft capital on him. And I think we all think that there's like 20 guys who could have come in and done exactly what Sony Michel did. That's
right.
That's what I'm talking about. And then, so yesterday, Derrick Henry, we sat through 3 weeks, Wiggy, 3 weeks of people telling us that Derrick Henry was revolutionizing football again. It was back to establish the run. Running backs first. Get paid. This was a month of this and telling us the sport had changed. This is, by the way, a year after we were told Todd Gurley had changed the game, and he was the new guy. This happens once every couple of years, and the reality is it doesn't matter. It's not a running league anymore. It's a passing league, and you saw it outside of a few different spots.
Mm-hmm.
You can run it with just about anybody. Doesn't have to be the highest-paid guy in the league, Derrick Henry or Ezekiel Elliott, or a top pick in Saquon Barkley.
It's what's old is new again. No one had ever done three straight games of 180 yards. Derrick Henry is changing the game by making it like the way it used to be. Please, they went into yesterday with the exact same game plan, or so it seemed that they'd had before. And the Chiefs put 8-9 in the box before and couldn't stop them. And yesterday they could because that's what they saw coming. There was not a lot of diversity to Tennessee's attack yesterday. And I'll tell you what, The one that you say, like, you know, what was the biggest problem for the Patriots this year was they couldn't run the football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a great offensive line in Tennessee. Doesn't San Francisco's running attack just seem like it is playing at a speed the Patriots couldn't even keep up with? Like, they hand off the ball,
Well,
it seems like but the line looks fast, the running backs looks fast. It just looks like they explode out of the gate, whereas it was a very plodding running attack for the Patriots this year.
Yeah, it's definitely the running backs when you look at in the San Francisco and what they're able to do when you talk about running the football. But the thing that's going to really be interesting, because we looked at it and we go, okay, we know what Tennessee is. If you get a lead on them, that's it.
It's a wrap. Yep.
And that's ultimately what Kansas City was able to do. They were able to get that lead. You know, once we said, all right, here it is, after the Patrick Mahomes long run before halftime, mm-hmm. it's over, because that offense can't do anything when it comes to throwing the football, and we know what Kansas City's offense is. They're so explosive. Now you're going to have a game where you're going to have the San Francisco 49ers with an unbelievable running attack. That's kind of what they're built on.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're going to have a team like Kansas City. So we almost see this again, where can San Francisco slow down that passing offense?
Oh, it's a great matchup. I mean, it's a perfect offense against high-flying offense of Kansas City. You know, locked down 49ers defense. Richard Sherman, when he's not yapping at Darrelle Revis, who's yapping at him on his couch, is turned into a great year this year. From a game perspective, Wiggy, you're right. It's two contrasting styles, offense against defense, high-flying against a team that wants to run the football, you know, 30 times like they did yesterday. You couldn't ask for a better matchup.
Well, see, I think that's the thing right there, though, right? That's the thing. If you are going to be a team that runs the football, you better have a pretty good defense. You better have a damn good defense. And when you're a team that is built and say, we're a running team and our quarterback and our passing game is an afterthought, and that was kind of the issue with the Tennessee Titans. Their defense was good, but it wasn't to that next level.
It was very average yesterday.
Smoked.
I mean,
they got smoked. I mean,
who did anyone want to tackle Patrick Mahomes on that run? It looked like the Miami Miracle, where everyone just passed him off to the next guy, like, all right, someone's going to get him. And then no one wanted to touch him. And then he just, like, sort of slips his way into the end zone. And to the matchup point, right now the Chiefs have opened at 1. So, and no Super Bowl has ever gone off at a pick'em, but at this point, could be the case. That's how evenly matched up these two teams are. So maybe the Super Bowl will make up for what we thought, I guess, altogether was a pretty average to disappointing championship Sunday.
Well, it was, because the games weren't all that close. And the second game, I mean, me personally, I wanted Garoppolo to be involved somehow.
Right.
Either be really good.
Eight passes?
Either be really good or really bad, so we can talk about it today on the air. He did nothing. He's 6 of 8 for 70-something yards. He was a passenger on the train of the San Francisco offense. He did nothing. He had 30 handoffs yesterday.
Didn't have to.
To me, he would be the question mark. In a big spot, I think he has been shaky at times this year.
Right.
And I know it's a point. I know it's an offense against defense. I'm going to have a hard time in 13 days picking Jimmy Garoppolo to beat Patrick Mahomes in a big spot.
And, you know, when you think about, there was maybe one throw that it was a little bit off from him, but like you said, he is a passenger at best. And then when I said passenger, he's not even in the passenger seat. He's like at the back of the bus. You know, you look at what he's doing, it's like
a San Francisco streetcar. So he's just hanging on in the back, like, hey guys, happy to be here.
And now you're going to see a team, and you're going to see a team offensively in Kansas City. You got to give them a lot of credit, man. They can score like it is at will against a very, very good defense.
Everything the Patriots weren't, Wiggy. Explosive plays at any time. The Patriots felt like during the year they had to get 10 play drives. They couldn't make any big plays downfield.
Yeah, you don't have
anybody
like
that.
They had
to
scheme their way into the end zone half the time.
Well, you don't have Patrick Mahomes. I mean,
well, I don't think it's about Patrick Mahomes.
It is absolutely about Patrick Mahomes.
Think about this. You don't have us. Who scored? Was it Sammy?
Wiggy's guy, Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, we're getting into this. Trust me. I listened a lot yesterday.
Was it Sammy Watkins?
Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins
since week one.
You're a better receiver than Sammy Watkins right now.
No way.
He sucked this year. He was terrible.
I mean, he might have been.
Gets out of bed and he's questionable every week.
And Mahomes makes him better because he's a freak. He gets over. open. How does he get open anymore?
How does he make him better when he's running, you know, 10 yards behind the guy wide open last night? That had nothing to do with
Logan Ryan. You're faster than Logan Ryan.
It's the fear of being run on again by Patrick Mahomes. That had nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes.
We will come back and talk about this because I think the quarterbacks are in play. And Nick and I both listened to a lot of Jermaine Wiggins yesterday, and you were talking very poorly about Patrick Mahomes.
I said Patrick Mahomes has a lot of talent.
My wife is... driving back MGM Springfield yesterday, my wife's like, why are you yelling at the radio?
Yeah.
Because Wiggy says they could have made the playoffs with Patrick Mahomes, honey. That's why.
And I'm I told Mutt when I got in here. I was at the gym yesterday. I took one of my AirPods out and I was like, is anyone else listening to this? Am I the only one who saw this offense? Am I taking crazy pills?
Let's come back and discuss. We are the championship games yesterday in the crosshairs. You're certainly welcome to react to that. We will get to a bunch of other stuff, including Tom Brady. We got to add a team to the list because there is, I think, legit love in Vegas for one Tom Brady to the Vegas Raiders in the offseason. We'll get to the Red Sox weekend and their claim that they are innocent and a lot more. It is Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mutt in for the Greg Hill Show.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
And it's brought to you by the City of Boston Credit Union. Membership open to everyone that lives, works, or goes to school in Norfolk, Suffolk, and Middlesex counties. Visit cityofbostoncu.com for membership information. City of Boston Credit Union, uniquely Boston. Now, Super Bowl 54 is set. Kansas City and San Francisco, they'll play in Miami 13 days from now. The Chiefs over the Titans 35-24. Patrick Mahomes, 294 yards. He had three touchdowns. 49ers beat the Packers 37-20. They got a big day on the ground from the entire offense as they rolled in that game. Really not even close. Not even close based on the final score. Bruins had a three-goal lead against the Penguins. They lose 4-3. David Backes clearing waivers. He's sent down to Providence. They're off now until Tuesday. Take on Vegas Golden Knights. Puck drop 7 o'clock over at the Garden. Celtics playing the L.A. Lakers tonight, 7:30. Anthony Davis, questionable play in that one. And Kemba Walker getting an MRI on his sore left knee, but no structural damage found in that one.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Chelsea, wide to the right on 2nd and 10. Down the middle. Touchdown, Kansas City.
See, last week had so much attention. Tyreek Hill now is going to be one-on-one down here.
Somebody's going to pay that guy a lot of money to talk about football.
Oh, God.
And he'll be overpaid to do
it. Yes.
Talking about $10 million or north of maybe to go to ESPN.
Yeah,
now, would you be in on Tessitore and Romo?
No. That'd be too much for me.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes does it again!
They'd have to blow up the entire thing. Bring somebody else in with Tony Romo. Meanwhile, I mean, I'm a Wiggy. I think we're the only ones who had this opinion. He's overrated.
I would so much rather have
Wiggy than Booger McFarlane on the broadcast.
Yeah, but I mean, when you think about it, right?
Poor Boogs.
Right, I don't mind. I don't have an issue.
No love for Boogs.
Get a rough year.
We're not...
You see, when you put it in the end zone.
When he said on third down they should run a draw play, or fourth down, run a draw play, then spike it. Not a good look in that first double.
Slithering and withering.
Well, I think you have five downs, Boog.
Well, Christian Fourier makes a good point. I agree with him. There are just certain guys that you can't, like defensive linemen, they can't really be, you know, color commentary guys because they don't really get to see everything. Quarterbacks and, unfortunately, tight ends, but because of Jason Witten, or maybe a safety, somebody that kind of sees the whole game as a D lineman. There's not a whole bunch that they have to look at like other positions. But Romo, I'm just like, I mean, he's okay, and I don't think he does anything spectacular. There'll be times, all right, there's a perfect opportunity for them to run the football. I think they're gonna run it right here, and then it's a deep pass down.
Watch. Right there.
I mean, he's going full John Madden on us now. Boom!
Oh, yeah.
That's Madden.
The Romestradamus. He does call out a lot of plays in advance. Like I've said before, he's like predictive text.
Yeah,
like,
but that's not how to do.
Yeah, but no one gives him. They give him credit every time he hits it. When he misses,
but
people just go, "Okay, no big deal."
He misses plenty. So are we now at a point where
we hear that again?
Boom!
That's John Madden.
Are we now? Boom! Tough acting, ten acting. Boom! Are we now at a point where Romo is like that restaurant in town where everyone has said it's so great, and you went there and you're like, it was all right. I mean, why is
it's that restaurant.
Or like, it's like that movie, The Hangover. I went and saw it because everyone said, this is the funniest movie of all time. And I saw it, I was like, what is everyone talking about?
It's the restaurant in town that's around a bunch of other restaurants, and the bunch of other restaurants completely are horrible. They're so bad that you just go to that one restaurant, you're like, oh, wow, this restaurant's amazing. Right. Because all the other restaurants, I mean, they got, you know, rats climbing up the walls.
Right.
That's a roar.
So he'll get paid. Wiggy's
is fine, but did you eat it? Mutts and Fitzy's?
Oh, God. God.
I got
a flick of roach out of my soup.
We had a family outing out watching the game at a restaurant, so I got none of Romo and Nancy yesterday. I didn't feel like I missed anything.
Oh, man, it was amazing.
He's going to get paid. But I didn't need Romo or Nance to tell me this. The Patriots would have made the playoffs if Patrick Mahomes is quarterback. And it's not even close.
Please,
and as Wiggy, as you were fighting this good fight yesterday, as you're watching the game after you guys had this great conversation about it, are you ready to back off and say, I think Mahomes might be able to carry this team to the postseason?
No. I said when you look at Mahomes, he's a tremendous quarterback, but he's been fortunate when you look at the players that he's had around him. And even in yesterday's game, I mean, think about yesterday's game. He gets out of the pocket, and when he's not running and he's throwing the football, wide receivers are wide open.
But guys get open when they're worried about a quarterback running and making a play with his feet. Tom Brady, unfortunately for him,
guys
that
get
fear
open.
Is not there.
No, we've slept on the fact that Mahomes can run, as evidenced by that scamper yesterday.
No. Guys get open when the play's extended, right? So whether the guy's running out of the pocket or whether the guy's in the pocket is getting great protection, like we've seen Brady do at times, guys get open. They're able to uncover. The Patriots don't have that. Say what you want about Sammy Watkins. I mean, the guy caught, 52 balls? Who on the Patriots would do what Sammy Watkins did?
And Julian Edelman. I mean, he had a great year.
Julian
he was
Edelman.
Hurt, he fought through
no,
it.
No,
he's
Julian
a
Edelman
great weapon
is your
Brady.
Top guy.
Okay.
Julian Edelman is your Tyreek Hill, right?
Okay.
So then you don't have a Travis Kelce.
Mohamed Sanu should be Sammy Watkins. They should. That's exactly who it should be. They don't have the same kind of speed. They don't play
right.
the same game. But that's exactly who he should be.
Maybe he should be that, but he's not even close to that.
Oh, no.
So when you look at Patrick Mahomes' weapons, if he's here, his now weapons are Philip Dorsett, Mohamed Sanu, N'Keal Harry.
James White, Julian
Jacoby
Edelman.
Jacoby Myers.
Yep.
Yeah, James White. And you think about this game yesterday. Your best player on the Kansas City Chiefs only caught 3 passes for 30 yards, and that's Travis Kelce. They were able to dominate you without having to get Travis Kelce the football. And Sammy Watkins was your best player with 11, I think he had 7 receptions for 111 yards. What does that tell you? You would never see a Patriots player besides Julian Edelman have those type of numbers.
But it's so different, though, with Mahomes. Like I think of the Patriots offense, Wiggy, is so regimented now, where guys got to be a certain spot and be here, and Tom wants you here, and you got to play by Tom's rules, which has worked for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Mahomes, because he extends the play like you're talking about, he turns it into a one-on-one backyard football game.
Yeah,
and now, and you talk about the play extending. Well, when I was watching the Titans yesterday, mm-hmm. they are looking constantly into the backfield at Mahomes and the receiver. They're trying to do two things at once. With Brady, if the play breaks down, at worst, he's going to pick up 5, 6, 8 yards. With Mahomes, he's going to go 27 yards
well,
for
no,
a touchdown.
That, I give
so that
you
fear
that,
is not
but,
there. So
but
he,
I give you the
Brady would Mahomes would make the receivers on this team better.
The running element of it, he gave you that ability. I will give you that. He'll give you an extra 20, 25 yards.
But it's the
scamper.
Fear the rushing element brings to a defense.
If you look at that game yesterday, right? They shouldn't have been afraid of him running the football. The problem that happened yesterday is they were playing way too much zone. So when he's running the football, I don't understand why guys are not coming up and making a play on him. They're not in a man coverage situation where you're locked into the receiver, and then all of a sudden you turn around, and Patrick Mahomes has ran for 30 yards. That most of the time Tennessee was playing zone. The thing that the Kansas City Chiefs are able to do as those receivers are able to uncover. So whether you got a guy who extends the pocket with his legs, like we saw Patrick Mahomes, and then throw it deep to Sammy Watkins. We've seen Brady move around in the pocket. He's not running, but he's extending the play, or maybe he gets really good protection. And think about how many times you've seen Brady look right, middle, left, middle, right, on one play, and you're like, somebody get open. They don't have good enough players. And that's the difference. And if Patrick Mahomes here, he doesn't have Tyreek Hill. He doesn't have Travis Kelce. He doesn't have a Sammy Watkins. He doesn't have a Robinson. He doesn't have a Mecole Hardman. He has a Julian Edelman and a James White.
Yeah, and the other receivers that didn't fit into Brady's system. But I think when they're asked to do what Sammy Watkins does, which appears to
but
me is
not better than
just
them.
go run a deep pattern and try to beat a guy.
He
and,
runs
and,
basically one route.
And that's
Who's
it.
Who's that?
Sammy Watkins. Right. He's an inline receiver. He basically just kind of runs
that's it,
but straight ahead.
And if that was your job here, you'd be a better receiver than N'Keal Harry being asked to do a million different things.
But you said if that's Sammy Watkins' job here. If that's Sammy Watkins' job.
If someone has the Sammy Watkins job, they don't. Because in the Brady offense, because the way it works, this is just the truth. It's very strict, and it's here's what we're going to do, and there's a certain pattern to
but
follow.
How many routes did they give N'Keal Harry? Would you rather have...
He missed half the year. He's maybe the best
example.
He probably
had a pretty small playbook.
Okay, so... But when you look at the weapons, when you compare the weapons, right? Because it's all about the guys
They're not close.
You're
going to win that debate.
Right.
I think you're downplaying the ability of Mahomes.
No. I don't think as a quarterback, you can make guys that much better who are not that good. That's the difference.
See, I think Watkins is the example that you can because for 13, 14 weeks a year, look at his game logs. He did nothing. He was invisible for them.
You know why?
In the one game they needed
why
him, because Mahomes runs around, people are scared,
it's not about Mahomes,
and he gets open.
It's not about Mahomes. It's about Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. They make all those other guys' jobs easier because we heard Romo talk about how, they're double covering Travis Kelce. And you're leaving Tyreek Hill one-on-one. That's like taking candy from a baby. And then you're playing him, you walked up on him, and you're playing him press coverage. You don't think Tyreek Hill's going to win that matchup? And that's the difference. You just have Julian Edelman. You have nobody else.
But you have James White, and Edelman would
James
be
White
a weapon
a
for Patrick Mahomes.
No.
In the red zone, you saw what happened to the Patriots all season long. As soon as the Patriots got into the dread zone, as it turns out for them, you doubled Edelman, you double White, and then say, okay, someone get open. And nobody could.
James White, you got to understand, James White, it's a lot difficult for the running back to create serious problems in the passing game from the backfield. Unless you have the other players that are the receivers or the tight ends that can take a defense deep, and now you can create those one-on-one matchups. But when you don't have that, now when James White catches the ball on the flat, in order for him to make 8, 9, 10 yards, he's got to make two or three guys miss.
I want to add one more thing of this with the calls when we come back at 617-779-7937, because Brady had something that Mahomes didn't have, I don't think, all year. We'll get to that with your calls. Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mutt in for Greg Hill.
Now, it's the Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
What did you think of those comments that he made, that he was trying to find the weakness to your defense?
I don't have any comments. I mean, the game speaks for itself.
How were you guys able to rattle him? He said at one point on the ESPN broadcast that felt like he was seeing ghosts out there.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's the boogeyman. It's real.
was that Kyle Van Noy before they got rid of all the boogeyman T-shirts? Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mutt in for the Greg Hill Show, reacting to the games yesterday and Patrick Mahomes and your take on Mahomes and what he could or could not do with this Patriot offense.
You're right
about the weapons. There's not as many here. The other difference, though, that never comes up is the fact that Brady benefited this year from a defense that for much of the year was awesome. And the Chiefs didn't. The Chiefs had to win shootouts. Mahomes had to go into games and score a lot of points.
I think Brady didn't. I think the Patriots' defense was better the first 8 weeks of the season. But then I would think that the Chiefs' defense was better at the second half of the season. So
Patriots played an extended preseason for a first half of a season.
Right.
But their defense was much – I mean, we can go through the rankings, but they were much better defense than the Chiefs were this year.
Well, statistically
– they had a good game yesterday against Kansas City because they stopped the run and they made him play one-handed, and Tannehill is an average quarterback.
Statistically, I would agree with you, but weren't there a lot of people out there in the last, I would say, 6, 7 weeks of the season that would say this defense is good, but are they – I mean, they're not – They're not like world beater defenses in the sense where we would thought they were going to be this historic defense. They weren't that.
They were for 8 weeks. In the final eight weeks, they were a different defense.
But
you're right. But I mean,
KC's defense wasn't
for the full
that
season.
Bad
they
in
were
the second half of the season.
They got the Marcus Peters trade helped them. They got better at cornerback. Frank Clark helped them.
Well, Marcus Peters went to the Ravens.
I'm sorry. Yes. The Ravens got Marcus Peters.
Right.
The Chiefs got healthy defensively. Where some of these guys started coming back. Jones tried to play yesterday. I don't know how much he really impacted them. He jumped off sides early in that game. But he helped them out during the year. And I guess they got better. But if you look at the season-long rankings, the Patriots were just a much better defense.
Yeah, they were a better defense, but the Chiefs weren't.
And that helps Brady, right? That helps the quarterback because you're not expected to do as much. And so you talk about wins and losses, that your theory being they couldn't get enough wins to get to the playoffs, essentially. Well, he'd have the benefit of a really good defense, so he wouldn't have to do what he's doing at Kansas City with the offensive talent here, because you don't have to score 40 points a game or 30 points a game.
Yeah, but
the defense is helping you win. In Kansas City, he had to win shootouts.
Well, but the thing is, offensively, you'd have to win here, because that was the issue, right? Their inability to score points. Even when the defense was playing good, it was their inability offensively to score points. And so, yeah, I think if you get a guy like Patrick Mahomes, does he give you a little bit extra when it comes to his ability to maybe get out of the pocket and scramble and make some plays with his legs? I give you that. He gives you that ability. But now he's having to force the ball more because of his, you know, his great arm strength. He's trying to force it into windows that are going to be much tighter. He's not seeing when you think about every time he scrambles and he throws it to a guy, and you saw it yesterday, is there anybody ever around those receivers?
No, but are those guys getting open?
It's called uncovering.
He's gotten out in the outside the pocket, yeah, and the play starts to break down.
No, but you still got to be able to uncover and get away from the guy, right? And we've seen that happen one time with N'Keal Harry in the back of the end zone, where he ultimately uncovered and was able to get open.
Because it was 6.5 seconds. It was like the most time that Brady had all season long.
So when you but there were times when Brady got a bunch of time and guys still couldn't get open. I mean, think about how many times you saw Brady patting the ball in the pocket, and he's like, okay, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds.
Steps to his left, steps up in
somebody
the pocket.
Somebody get open.
Tries to
right?
roll to the right.
So the difference is Mahomes will just be doing that outside the pocket, running a little bit.
Or tucking the ball and just running. The running play he made, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson.
That was poor tackling.
There are three
though.
Or four guys in the league that can make the play he made last night.
Tackling,
spectacular.
Somebody should, that guy, the second linebacker should have tackled him. That was just.
That's fine. Some poor tackling there.
It wasn't
but the
like Lamar,
the sideline and
like
then run
Lamar,
over.
But it wasn't like a Lamar Jackson run where he's making six or seven guys miss.
It was more physical than a Lamar Jackson run. He took some contact and dragged a couple guys
into
the end.
But usually when you see a run like that from Patrick Mahomes or like even a Russell Wilson, that's because it's just sloppy and lazy tackling. It's not because of, like, a Lamar Jackson. See, I think you kind of confuse his running with, like, oh, this is what he'd be able to do. He's not that type of runner. He's not like a Lamar Jackson. If you get lazy and you get sloppy, he's a good enough athlete, like I would say most quarterbacks in the league, except for maybe Brady, that if you get sloppy, he's going to be able to take one for 20, 25 yards. But if you do what you're supposed to do, like that second linebacker did, come up and just make the tackle. You make the tackle, you push him out of bounds, and it's a 3-yard gain. Like they were able to do most of the night,
yeah,
except for a couple lazy plays there.
And see, so I have no fear that he's going to go into a big spot in Miami and play well. I have questions about Jimmy Garoppolo. And I know he had a big game against New Orleans. You were talking about that game
That's
off
right.
the air. You guys talked about that, Wiggy, a little bit yesterday. He didn't have to do anything. I mean, yesterday he handed the ball off, get out
Eight
of the way.
Passes.
And I'm sure we're going to revisit it at some point, the Jimmy Garoppolo-Tom Brady trade, like, oh, look, Garoppolo's in the Super Bowl. But I still need to see it. I know he's in the Super Bowl. I know he had a good year for them. But if you want to say they wouldn't have made the playoffs with Garoppolo in New England, that one I can buy. Watching him play quarterback.
It was four guys. So yeah.
But how would Mahomes be on the Niners?
We'll get to that in our
But it was four teams. So it was the four teams that were left. It was Green Bay, San Francisco, Tennessee, and KC.
Right.
Maybe you make the argument if you'd have to have a really, really good season that maybe Patrick Mahomes, he kind of gets you into the playoffs. Yeah, are you winning the division? Well, maybe, but I don't think the rest of those guys get you into the playoffs. Well, Tannehill, Garoppolo.
Garoppolo's an interesting study.
Even Aaron Rodgers with this offense.
They gave him all that money. I guess he earned it, but he really is just a passenger there. He wasn't expected to do anything, and some of that's Green Bay's terrible running defense last night. But I don't know what he is yet. I don't know if he's a great quarterback yet.
Jimmy G is a motherfucking star.
I guess so. I know that Mahomes is, and that we've seen it over and over and over again. For Garoppolo, this is a huge spot for him. And if Kansas City is able to force him to be a throwing quarterback and not a guy who hands the ball off a lot, I think they'll have success.
Well, that's what Kansas City.
I want to see it.
Well, that's what Kansas City will do, though, right? Kansas City, we know they can score quick and they can strike from anywhere on the football field. So unless San Francisco's defense slows Patrick Mahomes down for the whole game, which we haven't seen a defense do. Maybe you slow him down in the first half, but he ultimately picks it up in the second half. We're going to have to see Jimmy Garoppolo and whether or not he can throw the football.
All right. On the season, 2019, Garoppolo obviously went 13-3, 69% completion percentage, 4,000 yards or just 22 yards shy, 27 touchdowns, 13 picks. So the picks are high, but by and large, those are pretty solid numbers.
Yeah, but I think
add the fumbles in, though. But in the pocket, he gets shaky.
He does turn the ball over a lot. So what we're saying is that the 49ers are a defense and rushing team, and they can use Garoppolo when and if. He's sort of like a break and use in case of emergency quarterback.
I don't even know if he's that. See, I think a lot of people, the problem is too many people look at the stats, right? They go looking at the stats. But if you watch him play, there are times where you're like, ooh, that's a bad decision right there. He's trying to force that ball. I don't know who he was throwing to. It's like Andrew Luck, right? We've talked about Andrew Luck for all the time. We used to talk about him, and people would say he was still making the same mistakes in year 4 or 5 that he was making as a rookie. And I'm not saying that Garoppolo's doing that, but there are going to be times when you look at Garoppolo and you're like, ooh, what's that decision? Why did he throw that football there? With Patrick Mahomes, I will give him credit. You don't really see him making those glaring mistakes. You don't really see Patrick Mahomes going like, why the hell did he throw the football
there?
He's
also asked to do more than Jimmy G was
right.
asked to do this year.
I'm not putting Jimmy G in Mahomes' category. This game's going to be perfect. You're going to get a very good defense against a very explosive offense, and you're going to find out, you know, which one wins, and then you're going to see what Garoppolo can do.
Mahomes did turn the ball over a lot last year, and I think those turnovers are glossed over because of the 50 touchdowns. It kind of helps a little bit. And in terms of him rushing, he had almost 300 yards rushing last year, so he is a threat. That I think to Mutt's point, you have to defend more than just like lateral quickness or him being able to shake and bake in the pocket. He is a legitimate rusher.
Well, I think most when you look at a lot of these quarterbacks nowadays, I think a lot of these quarterbacks have the ability to rush for 30, 40 yards in a game, mm-hmm. right? And that's the, you know, so now you have to be concerned about that. But he's not a Lamar Jackson. He's a guy that if you play man-to-man coverage and turn around and everybody's running with somebody and you happen to just not put a spy on him or not have a guy on him, he's got enough athletic ability to pick up 30 yards. He's got enough athletic ability where if you're sloppy and you're lazy trying to tackle him, he's going to do what he did yesterday. So he has the same with Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. I mean, Ryan Tannehill could do that. You can go on and on to Josh Allen. But if you play discipline and say, okay, which, you know, at times
it's hard to do because the chance of getting beat for a big
play. The tackling on Mahomes' run yesterday, what it reminded me of most, actually, remember it was like the first rushing touchdown the Patriots had given up all season, or like the first passing touchdown. It was the one in Washington.
Oh, it was where that kid jet got the sweep.
It was like a jet sweep, and then everyone just Olay'd him into the end zone.
Yep.
If they're going to do a film review, or if the Titans aren't just going to get there, throw everything in a garbage bag and say, see you next year, and maybe it'll be Brady that's our quarterback. If they're going to do film review, I bet Vrabel just basically puts on that one play and says, we had him. We had him. 17-17 at the half, different game.
Right.
21-17. Good night.
Nick and Weymouth in the game yesterday. Hey, Nick.
A couple of things. On that play with Mahomes, right? Okay. When they got the ball, there was a minute and 54 seconds left. They had 3 timeouts. I'm blaming this on Reed. He only used one. When that play started, there was only 11 seconds left. So what I'm saying, Reed squandered, you know, about a minute and 43 seconds because he was throwing good passes, Mahomes was, and they had to run to get to the line of scrimmage. What I'm saying is, when that play started, right, they should have had about 30 seconds left on the clock at least. If they didn't score, what you guys just said would have been a big difference in the ballgame. The other thing is, I want to go back to Dean Pease, okay? The previous employment he had was 8 years with the Ravens and then 6 years with the Patriots. And I believe his familiarity with the tendencies of Belichick and certainly McDaniels and the tendencies of all the – there were several coordinators when he was there offensive for the Ravens when he was there. But of course, Harbaugh. I think that had a lot to do with his expertise in devising schemes to deal with the Patriots and to deal with the Ravens. And what do you think about that?
Nick, I don't disagree with it, but if you're trying to go back and say that, you know, because they had Dean Pease, the Titans beat the Patriots, it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, watching the last couple weeks, the Patriots weren't good enough. They would have gotten curb stomped in Kansas City by the Chiefs yesterday. They would have it would have been, to me, it would have been worse than what the result was. 35-24.
Yeah, you would. They would have had
because they did not. They did nothing offensively at the end of the year.
They would, but they would have had to really, really scheme up something defensively to limit Patrick Mahomes, which they've been able to do the past couple of times that they've played him. Not for 60 minutes, but like for a half. They would have had to put together a 60-minute game.
They can only take him out for a half. Like when they played him at home this year, they 53 yards in the second half.
They can only clamp him down
for a half. Some people said it's because he dinged up his hand. I just think they can eventually find a way to lock him up. Last year, the first half defensive game plan from the Patriots in the AFC Championship was brilliant. Kyle Van Noy was unstoppable, and then they just went to sleep in the second half.
The problem is we saw this defense get torched by Ryan Fitzpatrick in Week 17.
That's not the same defense that we saw in the first 8 weeks of the season.
No, they were much better at the beginning of the year.
Right.
Yes. As a whole, they're better than Kansas
when
City.
When you looked at it and you go, when we talked about flip-flopping the quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes is not getting that type of defense that you saw in the first 8 weeks of the season. He's getting the defense that's getting shredded by Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's getting the defense that
13 plays 75 yards.
Right. He's getting He's getting the defense that
can't
stop Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he's now getting. And so you got to be saying, all right, we got to put up some points. But now offensively, you get a banged up Julian Edelman.
Yeah, who's now jumping on cars and having surgeries.
He's so hurt he can get out and just get lit with Dole and Paul Pierce and celebrate on the hood of someone's
car. Once you
car.
Get that sauce in you, you know what I mean?
I've heard that, yeah. Meanwhile, okay, so the games yesterday were not very good. There are some things to react to, certainly. The story around here continues to be Tom Brady, and there is stuff being labeled as Tom Brady news. I want to come back and discuss it. We agree is this actual news, not from just his conversation with Jim Gray, but national pundits weighing in on the future of Tom Brady. He's at UFC fights. He's hanging out with Mark Davis and that terrible haircut. John Gruden's flying in. Tennessee needs a quarterback. Philip Rivers moved. He's moving from L.A., so there's a lot of stuff going on with Tom Brady. We'll get to, for now, your quarterback, I guess. When we come back with Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mutt in for the Greg Hill Show.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.